Hey, this is William for attackofthefanboy.com. We're not doing a this is. Fuck. This is the podcast. That was my this is intro.
I mean, it's the same. Attackofthefanboy.com, the AOTF podcast.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's how I say those other ones. I really need to change that shit up, man. God damn. I'm getting in a groove of doing the same exact fucking thing over and over. No, this is the Attack the Fanboy podcast number 29.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. We're going with it. We're hitting 30 next week.
Yeah. It goes quick.
If 29 is really it. We didn't get any emails for our Dreadnought beta code last week. Did you give those out?
It's still sitting right here. I took that one aside. We have a couple more to give out.
We're going to burn it.
I'm going to give those away.
Basically burn it tomorrow in a trash can if somebody doesn't email us for it. We did get like a couple of solicitations from Chinese like flooring manufacturers.
And see, I didn't even type it out. So where did they get it?
Smart Chinese internets. Podcast at attackofthefanboy.com if you want the Dreadnought beta code. Come on. I'll also throw in a Binding of Isaac
afterbirth
DLC code. How about that?
That's pretty good. PS4, right?
Yeah, that's on PS4. But yeah, you have to own Rebirth. And there's tons of stuff we could give away. We just don't take these people up on them because I personally don't like to owe them shit. But whatever.
We'll do it for our fans.
Do it for the fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old Jim.
I'll do it for, I forgot his name. It's like Christos or something who emailed in last time for that, well, Division Season Pass, I guess. Why not?
And that was a big one.
Why not take a flyer on that?
Here's the thing with giveaways. I've watched this happen. Mm-hmm. People don't want to share giveaways because they want to increase their odds. So these things, I'll see them posted on Reddit, like on specific forums for the game that is being given away, and people will downvote them because they don't want to share. They'll go in and they'll enter the contest and then they don't share it at all. So be nice, guys. All right.
That is quite shitty.
Yeah.
That is quite shitty. So we're back to video games this week. There was kind of like a little lull there.
Oh, yeah.
We got a couple big releases this week. At least Battleborn is out there.
Yeah, I mean...
Mike's reviewing that.
I feel like that is kind of released with a whisper rather than... I mean, people were really excited about this game, and it looks really good, but it just feels like it kind of came out, and I don't know. Are people going crazy about
it? This game is today, Wednesday. The Xbox Wire just posted on Twitter, "Are you ready for Battleborn?" 2 days after. So I think it did come out with a whisper. I mean, it goes to show you like how much the press does kind of generate buzz for games, especially reviews for games. There were no reviews for this game, and anybody that put out a review ahead of, you know, or right when it came out was lying because you couldn't play it.
Yeah.
There's no way to score this game.
It's a multiplayer-focused game.
It's all multiplayer, and you need an online connection to even play it. So it's one of those things where you've got to play it a little bit. Mike said he's actually played quite a bit of it. Hasn't really given me any of his impressions on the game yet, but we'll see. I think we'll have a review up probably tomorrow, Thursday.
I will say Blizzard was genius to have the Overwatch beta start this week. I think that they stole Battleborn's thunder.
People are obsessed
with Overwatch. I saw a countdown timer on Reddit today, not in the Overwatch subreddit.
That's because you haven't played Battleborn. I mean, you have to play it. And I don't know how much you like Borderlands, and it does capture a lot of that stuff, and it's got a lot. It mixes a lot of different elements from, you know, Gearbox's good games, other developers' good games, and puts them into one big kind of cohesive thing. I don't know. I haven't played enough of it. I wouldn't put a score on it. IGN gave it like some weird score. They started some interesting scoring system where they're like, this is our Battleborn review. If we had to score it now, we'd give it a 7.3 or something like that. And I was like, okay. Well, there's one way to do it.
And
we're gonna play it a little more and maybe give it a 7.5.
Polygon does that too, where they update their scores. I'm not a fan of that.
It's tough. You know, we've run into that problem where the game that we play during review is not the game that goes out to consumers. So, you know, what do you do? Metacritic's not going to change the scores. My cousin is actually associated with, well, he works at Riot Games, but he also is, have you ever heard of OpenCritic?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I really like that site actually.
Yeah. He was one of the developers for that. So, nice. Yeah, I think they do a changing score thing, but that's gotta be hard to keep up with.
Yeah. I don't know how much of it is automated, but
I don't know either.
It'd be weird for them to be constantly scanning old reviews that they already put into their system. Yeah.
You'd have to have, I don't know, have to have some sort of update where maybe the publication updates them with the new score, maybe. Who knows? But they also put those reviews out there without scores on them and then aggregate just the ones with scores. I think that's how it works. I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, enough rambling. We did enough of that in our Uncharted and Overwatch videos that you can find on our YouTube channel. We're going to get straight into news this week because guess what? Video games are coming out this fall.
Big
Call
ones.
Of Duty. Call of Duty's coming out this year.
And it's not just a new remaster. One.
I know. Like we said last week or posited last week that it was a remastered trilogy. I was just taking a stab. I wouldn't put it past Activision to do that, but in fact they are making a new Call of Duty in space or some far future thing.
Yeah, so I know I have talked to you about this. Is this,
you're not a big Call of Duty fan?
No, let's preface this. But yes, that's true. Watching this trailer, am I the only one that was like, oh, so now Call of Duty is a Halo prequel?
I have to admit, I haven't seen the trailer.
Really?
This is true.
I mean, it was just so, it's now so futuristic. I mean,
yeah, they've gone straight into like space battleships.
Yeah, and big, it's not like they were always just a little bit in the future and they've moved that buffer more and more. And now, I mean, this was, watch the trailer and it is full on spaceships doing battle, like large fleets of spaceships. It really is pushing the boundaries of what year was Halo, 22 or 2500, something like that, 2525?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm like, this has to be close at this point. We're way out there in terms of the timeline and the technology. And I think it's also a battle with like some settlement sort of group. They kind of said something about settlers, and that's the whole backstory of Halo. It was really interesting to watch.
More interesting is the fact that like they just kind of said, fuck Call of Duty Ghosts. Infinity Ward is kind of done with that. It looks like, I mean,
this has nothing to do with that storyline as far as what people were saying online. I didn't play Ghosts, but I mean, it makes sense. Wasn't Ghosts like their worst selling Call of Duty game?
I don't know if it was the worst selling. It would make sense since it was, well, they did have four, you know, they had a bunch of systems to put that out on. I think it was the worst scored game.
Yeah.
Critics received it the worst. I played a lot of Call of Duty Ghosts. I didn't think it was that bad. You know, they've kind of turned away from it. Obviously, they've listened to what the masses have said, and they don't want more dog action. They don't want more dogs. They want spaceships. But the game, they kind of have said in like their press release for it or whatever, is still a visceral boots on the ground infantry combat game. the ground game is still the primary focus for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Call of Duty likes to put you in vehicles and then just kind of have a little on rails session with a lot of explosions.
Exactly. But this is the series for Infinity Ward. This is their first game where they've had that part of that 3-year development cycle since they added in Sledgehammer and Treyarch with Infinity Ward. This is their first 3-year game. So they've been spending some time on this. If you order one of the special editions, you know, it doesn't really matter how good this game is. You're going to get a remastered version of, you know, one of the most highly regarded games in the series with Call of Duty Modern Warfare or Call of Duty 4.
Yeah. And they're saying there's no way to purchase this game by itself. If you want Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare remastered, you have to pay $80 and get Infinite Warfare's Deluxe Edition or Legacy Pro Edition for $120.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's bullshit. Yeah. I mean, they say that stuff all the time.
Probably
they literally say that every year when they're like, the only way you can get this shit, bro, is by pre-ordering. And then later down the line, you can get it.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope so, because I would like to play that remastered. Modern Warfare was a really good game. And this is not only, this isn't just the single player. It's what, 10 maps of the multiplayer. I would really like to play this.
It wouldn't be fall without military shooters, Kyle, and Battlefield is getting ready to, or DICE is getting ready to, according to them, melt the internet with their reveal for the next Battlefield game. And they've kind of poked some fun at Infinity Ward via Twitter, which they put some tweets out there. Looks like a game from 10 years ago talking about Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Today, Roland Smedberg, Raleigh the Poly, at Raleigh the Poly. Today, I watched the new COD trailer. How quaint. Those cute little free cam shots, precious 2010 graphics and grade school editing. Quaint. If you don't know, Roland is one of the guys who makes the trailers for Battlefield, and he is exceptional at doing his job.
He is, yeah. Anyone else that said this, I would say they're talking shit, but those Battlefield trailers are always amazing.
Yeah. I don't doubt it. Battlefield fans are rabid. It's been, what? A sense of real, well, we don't know what this game is going to be, if it's going to be Battlefield 5 or if it's going to be, what, it's 2143?
Yeah, them saying it's going to melt the internet, which of course is just a bit crazy, but they have to have something special about it. So, I mean, Battlefield hasn't been going into the future like Call of Duty has, so I could see that, Battlefield 2143 or whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are really pushing for another World War II game.
I take a Bad Company game, personally. But there's a lot of directions they could go, and they could please a lot of people. The direction that they didn't need to go was down the cops and robbers path last year.
Nobody was asking for that.
The game that no one wanted.
People are still not asking for that.
Yeah, and they're not asking for it so loudly that they're giving away the DLC for free as they ramp up into this announcement. And they're celebrating that announcement by giving away the downloadable content for no cost on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
And that's all the DLC?
I didn't
check that.
So
click that article. Dragon's Teeth DLC, which is, I think, the last Battlefield 4 expansion. And EA Access and Origin Access subscribers get Hardline Premium, which is all the DLC.
Mm.
So
they're
a smattering of
they're giving DLC. Away some free shit.
Yeah, Hardline owners can pick up the robbery DLC for the low price of free.
According to Scott Grill, the fun doesn't stop there. The publisher and developer plan to give more DLC away for free over the coming months. And a quote from them is, yeah, they will be giving it away. Some of the previously released expansion packs for both games to anyone playing on Xbox One or any of those platforms. It says on the Battlefield website. So that's cool. I wasn't sure if it was all free right now or not. I was going to go back in and start playing some Battlefield because I miss Battlefield.
Yeah, I put a lot of time into 3 and 4. It's a good series. I mean, it's just... It's not that the visceral gameplay that Call of Duty has. I feel like there's a bit more strategy and team play to it, so I like that.
I feel like fucking just getting in airplanes and crashing them into people that are on the ground. I mean, this game is incredible. That is one strategy. But, I mean, there's so much cool shit you can do in Battlefield games. And I don't know. I didn't get the same feeling from Hardline, personally.
Where do you want the series to go, though? Would you want another modern military? Would you want 2143? Or would you want World War II? Or World War I, as some...
I don't give a shit where they go with it, honestly. Like I said, personally, I wouldn't mind another Bad Company game, which would be kind of modern. I wouldn't mind Battlefield 5 modern combat. I wouldn't mind... I'm not as huge a fan on the World War era Battlefield games, even though, you know, obviously people do like them, and that's kind of where this series started, right? So
yeah,
it would be interesting to see that. And I didn't really play too much of the 2142.
Everybody got really burned out on World War II shooters, and maybe it's just that there's been a long enough gap that people are okay with them making a comeback and seeing them in, you know, modern graphics. The last World War II, I don't even know what the last World War II AAA shooter was. Maybe World at War?
Oh, something, man, like there's had to have been something else since then.
Yeah, a AAA World War II shooter?
Wolfenstein.
I can't think of one. Well, sure, maybe.
That's probably not the same class, but regardless, we'll find out soon enough what it's going to be. Hopefully it's not just some series of teases. We'll get it like a real concrete, this is what the fuck is going on with Battlefield, and they're doing it in an odd time, May 6th at like 11 p.m., Friday night, 11 p.m., drop what you're doing.
Yeah, because the reveal is happening at DICE headquarters.
May 6th. Well, wait, this says May 6th, 4 p.m., but I saw some other information out there that was a later timeline on like some stream that they're going to be doing. Well, maybe that'll be like the first trailer or whatever, then they'll do some streaming to do some Q&A or whatever. Who knows what DICE has up their sleeves, but whatever it is, I'm sure people are going to be talking about it next week, and I guess we will too.
It is 4 p.m. Eastern time. I think the other time were different time zones.
No, I double checked that. It was on another site or something. Maybe it was just in a comment section somewhere. I do read a lot of bullshit on the internet. Today is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Mm.
Titanfall developer has announced... They've got a new Star Wars game coming.
Yep. This was probably the biggest Star Wars news of the day.
Yeah.
Third-person action-adventure kind of game. I mean, really, really early on, this is essentially them just saying, we have an agreement, therefore we have a game. So I don't think... any code has been written or anything. It's probably just kind of storyboarding at this point, but Respawn Entertainment, and as you pointed out, the person who made the announcement was Stig Asmussen, who worked on the God of War series. So yeah,
God of War 3, he's in the PlayStation community. Stig is held in high regard for his work on that series. So that's a big get for Respawn. And probably means that this is going to be maybe along those lines. Not, I don't know if anything can compare to God of War 3 in the Star Wars universe, but if it is something with that kind of scale and scope, that might be something to get really excited about. So now they've got Titanfall 2, they've got a Star Wars game, and who else, who knows what else. I'm just wondering, kind of, did EA cancel their third-person game coming out of Visceral, or was that not working out? Or are they having multiple third-person Star Wars games here in the near future?
From Visceral. For some reason, I'm not thinking of that. Visceral's Star Wars Han Solo game?
No. Well, they hired Amy Hennig to write the thing.
Mm.
And, yep,
I pulled up Wikipedia on this untitled Visceral Games project, and that's the last bit of news, is that Amy Hennig and Jade Raymond announced her new EA subsidiary, Motive Studios, will be working on the game. That's it. So who knows?
Well, EA is doing all they can with the Star Wars license, apparently.
Disney's got to get some money out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like people went and saw that movie that came out.
No. But we'll have to see what this turns out to be. I think Titanfall 2 is going to be the thing that we hear about most in the near future.
Yeah, Titanfall is probably going to come out, what, later this year or early next? I know it's going to be revealed at E3.
I would guess. We'll probably see some gameplay at E3, like they probably did for Titanfall, the original. And then later on, it came out the following March, I think, or the following February. You know, that also brings me back to, like, well, if EA's got Titanfall 2, which is obviously, you know, a futuristic shooter, you know, why would DICE do a futuristic shooter, you know?
I think we talked about this last podcast, and I see your point. I'm not sure if there's that much discussion going on, but, you know, when they'll say, no, DICE, you can't make a sequel to the game that you made so long ago because we have another sci-fi shooter.
I'm on the bad company train, baby. I think that's what I think that's the one that melts the internet. I think bad company is like Battlefield in its fucking wheelhouse, man. And
here's the thing, and I looked this up before, but I'm gonna look it up again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Battlefield series did not become a huge massive seller until Battlefield 3. Bad Company 2 sold decently, but it did not sell like the games sell now.
Mm.
I think hardcore Battlefield fans enjoy Bad Company.
Right.
So, like, Bad Company 2 on the Xbox 360 sold
3.47. Was revolutionary.
Sold 3.47 million. On the PS3, it sold another 3 million. Battlefield 3, just on the 360, sold 7.3 million.
Yeah, Battlefield 3 was huge.
1 million more than...
They did a huge marketing rollout for Battlefield 3, though. I mean, they really put some money behind that game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know that Bad Company 3 has the large... It has that niche, and I guess maybe 7 or 6 million people is not a niche, but I'm saying it doesn't have that gigantic appeal where you say Battlefield Bad Company 3 and people go insane unless they were already a Bad Company fan.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you never know. It hits two spots. You hit modern era and you hit the old school fans. For me, that's probably where I would go, but I don't run game studios or publishers, so fuck it. That's just my opinion. But you want World War?
I don't know what I want, honestly. Probably I'd be excited about a World War II shooter. If they did a good one, I would be excited about a futuristic shooter as well. And I don't know. I think whatever they do, it's going to be interesting. I mean, Battlefield, it's been pretty consistently good, I would say.
I don't think Battlefield 4 was good when it came out. Oh. I mean, there were some problems with it.
Yeah, it was broken completely. But aside from being completely broken, it was a good game.
It got there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're just setting up E3 because we are, you know, a month out here from E3. And Dishonored 2 has a release date. We've got a gameplay reveal coming at E3. Dishonored 2, I'm really excited for. And that will hit shelves on May 7th.
Yep.
And we'll see more of that at the Bethesda E3 showcase.
Yeah.
That'll probably be the big showstopper for them, I'm guessing, unless they've got something else up their sleeve. But Dishonored. Did you play?
The game won't hit stores. I just want to clarify. Game Informer magazine with on Dishonored.
I misread that.
Hit stores.
Well, there you go, Game Informer.
May 7th.
Our three listeners will pick up your magazine on May 7th. When is the game coming out?
We will get a release.
November 11th. That makes a lot more sense.
Yes, that's correct. November 11th. Thank you. I'm scanning my own article that I wrote. I'm excited about Dishonored 2, mostly because I didn't put the time into Dishonored 1 that I wanted to. I didn't finish it, and I liked the game, but it's just...
How much did you play?
Not very much.
God, man.
I know.
So then why would you be excited about this one?
Because I liked it. I liked what I played. I just got distracted, and I didn't get to finish it. So I want to play another one.
You kind of need to prioritize
some
things in your life, Kyle. Yeah. I'm guessing that at around the time that Dishonored came out, there wasn't that much out there that could have been taking your time away from.
I don't know. There was probably a Nintendo game or something.
I don't know. One of the best games of 2012, I think. I think it was 2012.
But yeah, I mean, I agree that this will be Bethesda's showstopper. Although... Well, you know, it's no Fallout 4 in terms of broad audience. So maybe they have something else that they're going to reveal.
Skyrim 2. Skyrim 2. Fucking asshole.
Yeah, I mean,
scrolls down. It's the Elder Scrolls 6 Skyrim 2.
we're getting Final Fantasy naming conventions in here. But yeah, I mean, everyone tries to push a new Elder Scrolls, and of course that would be amazing, but it just doesn't fit Bethesda's usual schedule. It'll probably be
They could hint at it, right? That's the way you blow the top off of E3, is like hint at Skyrim and just get the fucking crowd. They're the first show. You know, that gets people talking, even though they're probably not going to show it if they would do something like that. Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they did it. They actually tried. They went a different route with Fallout 4 than they did with Skyrim as far as the reveal went. I think they revealed Skyrim at, like, the VGAs or something. And then it was, like, a full year cycle out to E3. And then it came out the next fall.
Fallout
was just kind of like bang bang. We want you to know everything about this game. I find it hard to believe that they would put those games out in succession like that. But when you go back and look at the timeline for, you know, the old Elder Scrolls games, whether that be Oblivion and into Fallout 3, into Skyrim and New Vegas, and I mean those games all kind of came out pretty quickly.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, I was surprised that they even are doing another E3 showcase this year. They said that last year was kind of a special event. They had Fallout 4 to reveal. They had Doom to go over. They revealed Dishonored 2, even though it leaked like a couple of days before. But it was still, you know, they had a lot going on. And it feels like this year, unless they have stuff that we don't know about, I'm not sure what they have to fill an entire show.
They've got Fallout 4 Far Harbor DLC.
Well, that's going to be out this month.
Yeah, but then they can repump it at E3.
Did you not buy it yet?
Did you not see the official trailer for the collector's edition for Fallout 4? the Game of the Year edition. Watch it now at our E3 press conference. Yeah, that stuff's coming out. What, we've got a official release date for the Far Harbor DLC for May 19th?
Yep, and it looks really good.
Does it?
Yeah, this is.
I don't watch trailers.
This is the big one. So, we had Automatron. That was kind of a chunk of content, but nothing insane. It had like one mission, no new areas other than like an underground area for the quest, and you could build robots and all that. And then the second one, Wasteland Workshop, that no one really cared for. This is a big one. This is a huge chunk of land off the coast of Maine, I think. And they said this is the biggest piece of DLC they've ever done, which means it's bigger than Shivering Isles and all of those other fantastic DLCs that they've put out for their games in the past. And the trailer looks really cool. It's really dark and mysterious. There's some kind of fog. I'm guessing it's a radioactive fog that is really killing people. And yet they are worshiping Adam and all of that sort of Fallout goodness. And then there's a big reveal at the end with a synth-looking guy that seems to be a big bad, and he looks really, really awesome. So I am excited.
Yeah, we'll be. Sure, we're going to play it. I hope you don't have to be a certain level, because I still haven't even been able to access the Automatron DLC, and I don't know when I'm ever going to be able to re-level my character through all that to get back there. I don't know why the hell I would delete that save.
Yeah, that sucks. They did come out and say you don't have to be a specific level. So
yeah, but it'll be totally hard.
Could be. Yep. You just got to power level it, man.
You used to have these things, like for the Xbox 360, I remember I did the same exact thing, and I deleted my save on Skyrim, but then I downloaded a save from the internet and uploaded it into my character, and it was like super, he was super high level.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that on an Xbox
One. Oh, no, not on X. Maybe. I don't know. I was going to say.
I could try it on PC. Save. Let's try some fucking kind of mod on PC that just gives me unlimited strength and all the perks and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, this week you've wrote a couple of Versus articles.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation Plus in May versus Xbox Live Games with Gold. You've been writing these articles every month, actually. And you do some honest critique. Tell me how you score these.
It's all in my head.
There's all in your head? You're just like, you flip a coin and say, probably PlayStation this month. Well, now fuck PlayStation. Xbox Live's a winner.
So I try to completely go over my logic, because I want it to,
because you have to. If not, the comment section says, what the fuck? How did you fucking come to this conclusion, you dumb fucking piece of shit?
They do that no matter what. Yeah, so
well,
I state things and it doesn't matter.
And you have to repeatedly go in there and go, yes, look, bleh, fucking Jesus.
Yeah, I've had to do that a few times.
Every month you have to do that, because people just don't. It's done by Metacritic score. And do you use any other sort of metrics?
I do, because the Metacritic score is there as kind of a guide, because you're still talking about different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at this month. Peggle is on Xbox. That's the highest reviewed game out of every game. Mm-hmm. But it's Peggle. It's
fucking 10 years old.
Exactly. So I don't want that to skew everything. And so I lay that out where, you know, this month worked out fine, because there was no question PlayStation Plus won. It had far better games. It had a better overall average. It had newer games, with one that literally came out the day that it was available on PlayStation Plus. So it easily won. But, you know, when it does get closer, it really is just me. I'm trying to be as objective as possible, but it is my opinion. This is just me saying, here's all the info I'm using. But at the end of the day, it's really me figuring out what I think is the better package for fans.
Just come clean and tell the comment section that you are an Xbox fan. And unless PlayStation just blows it out of the water, you're going with GameCube.
Sure,
gold.
Yeah. No, as a diehard Xbox fan, I'm a terrible one.
The logic is sound.
Thank you. I try.
I do read these comments, and it's like, because I get emails, I guess. It comes back, you know, and I say, oh, shit, they're asking him about why he did this again. So that's good.
Yeah, this month.
It definitely gets the comments going.
Does. I had to explain why a brand new game is more impressive than older games. And I get, saying that it's better. I'm saying it's impressive because it is because
games are cheaper as they get older.
Yeah, they're cheaper. You've people who cared about a game buy it when it comes out. So when you get something brand new, look at Rocket League. I mean, that was probably the best free I've ever gotten.
I've gotten a lot of good free games off of PlayStation Plus, Demon's Souls, fucking Infamous. God, they used to give out so many good games on that thing. It's just a matter of when they give them out. So you're right in that logic. PlayStation Plus was the winner this month?
Yep, pretty easily. I think Microsoft really went all out last month. They won April easily. Yeah. With, mm-hmm. Sunset Overdrive was one I'd been dying, and just never bought. I kept looking at it. It'd be like $30. I'm like, maybe it's not. No, I never bought it. So I got it for free. Awesome. But yeah, I think that they went so crazy last month. They really pulled back this month. And it was just like, I get that Defense Grid 2 is a good game, but I don't know that everyone's super excited about it.
So, I am not downloading it.
I download them all, I don't necessarily download them to my hard drive because then I want to delete them. But yeah, I pop them into my account, make sure I've got them for
just in case
down the road. Yep.
Another Versus article you wrote didn't necessarily stir the pot as much because no one gives a shit about VR. Oculus Rift versus the HTC Vive, which is better. I can tell you, I don't need to read the article. I know what you think. You've been saying it for the last year.
Yep.
You're an HTC Vive guy, and you're trying to sell. You are actively looking for a buyer for your Oculus Rift.
I shipped it. It's gone.
It's gone? How much did you get for it?
Over $1,100.
You're a fucking thief, man. What a fucking scam artist you are.
That's what they're going for. I was gonna.
They're going to be in Best Buys in like 2 days.
Those things are going to be gone. In two
I'm
minutes.
I'm going to go buy like 5 or 10, as many as I can fit under my arm. I'm going to be running out of there. 1,100.
Yeah. And I tried in this to, I am actively disliking Oculus at this point, and I tried to set that aside and be objective. And I think I laid out the case, which is.
Go if, on. If I don't, I believe that you're biased on this. It's okay.
If you care about price, Oculus is cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
If you care about the design of the headset and the comfort of the headset, Oculus is better designed. It is lighter.
If you're fabulously wealthy and you just want better features,
if you care about the features, if you care about the features and what I call the true VR experience, which is room scale, being able to walk around using motion controllers, the Vive is the only one that has that right now. When the Oculus Touch comes out, maybe it'll be close because apparently you can move around more with a single camera, and you can even hook up a second camera if somehow you get one. I don't know what they're going to do with that, but it will catch up at that point later this year. But right now, if you really want the features of VR, it's got to be the Vive.
And you said the games are better also.
Because of that, Oculus has done a great job in investing in games. Eve Valkyrie is currently an Oculus exclusive. Of course, there are ways around that I won't go into, but feel free to leave us a comment if you want to know, and I might help you out. So you can get around the Oculus exclusivity, but it has good games. But what happens is I've played some of those games, and I want to interact with them in the way that I interact with Vive games. I want to walk around the room, and I want to, reach out with the touch controller and interact with it, and I can't. And then that breaks it. It once you experience with motion controls and room scale, it hurts going back.
Yeah. Well, PlayStation VR is not going to have that, is it? Or does it?
It has the motion controls. It's got the Move, and it tracked really well in terms of me moving my body. It won't have room scale from what I know, but it does track the headset and it tracks the controllers. Hmm. So you'll have at least a portion of that right out of the box, right at the beginning. So.
Well, yeah. And if you want to hear more about Kyle is our resident VR enthusiast. Yeah. He also put out his impressions for the PlayStation VR on our YouTube channel. And we do also have an article up on attackofthefanboy.com about that. So if you want those impressions, which we talked about in our last podcast, you can check that out on our site. That's it for news and articles and other crap on our site this week. This podcast will be going up after the Uncharted 4 review embargo, and I am allowed to talk about it, I guess. We're going to have a video up, and I scored it a 4.5 out of 5 final score.
It's a good score.
Yeah, it's a good game. It is kind of, you know, we also have a video up on our YouTube channel that show off some gameplay footage as well as me and Kyle talking about the game in a little bit of detail. But check that out if you really want a full rundown of Uncharted 4. But, you know, the bullet points of this are this is an Uncharted game. There have been some refinements made to the game to kind of improve upon some of the features like the climbing traversal. There's a rope swinging mechanic and a pickaxe where you can climb up the sides of the walls. You've got the gunplay, which is largely unchanged, the stealth mechanics. I think, you know, one of the bigger things for this game is that the PlayStation 4 afforded Naughty Dog to make bigger levels, you know, and I kind of, as I thought about it, I know we spoke about it in the video as far as the pacing goes, but I think it's because of the bigger levels and because they're so much broader, and even though it's a linear game, it has some different ways to go about getting to those linear points. I think that's what throws the pacing off a little bit.
That makes sense. Yeah. You know? They just kind of,
it's just worse. Maybe you get off track a little bit.
Yeah, they just wanted to make those larger levels, and they didn't modify them to kind of keep players engaged.
Well, they do. You have a natural way of, like, it feels very natural of how it leads you to where you need to go. But there are, like, multiple ways to get there sometimes, and it just felt the stop points between, you know, where you have the big moments, the cutscenes, the plot points, the revelations in the story. It just didn't have that same pacing as the, you know, especially Uncharted 2 and probably Uncharted 3 as well. You know, for people that are coming into this game maybe expecting something wholly different than what previous Uncharted games were, I mean, it's not that. It's going to be the Uncharted that you expect it to be. The story's a little bit more human, a little more real. That's probably the influence of, you know, those guys from The Last of Us taking over. It does tell the story of Nathan Drake and his treasure hunting exploits again, although he's kind of domesticated and off of, you know, that lifestyle and onto, you know, working a mundane job, and then all of a sudden gets kind of thrust back into that world as his long-lost brother shows up and kind of brings him on for this mission to find this pirate treasure.
I mean, does it, without spoiling anything, obviously, does it have a sense of finality to it? They're saying this is the last Uncharted game.
I don't know.
Are they lying?
The greatest thing about the Uncharted games that I think, I mean, I went back and read my Uncharted 3 review, and I guess even Uncharted 2, they don't leave you like Halo does. They don't leave you with like Halo 5's coming.
Yeah.
Guess what? You want the rest of this story? You're going to have to wait 2 years. Like, this is a contained adventure, right? Where they leave it off, they could leave the series. But where they left Uncharted 3, they could leave the series. These are just contained episodes of this guy's, you know, adventures. Mm. You know, they could make 100 of these games if they wanted to. And it's just, they just don't leave you in a spot where you're like, oh God, I need another one.
That's good. I mean, that's been a problem with other series, especially. You mentioned Halo. That was a huge problem.
Everybody fucking does it now.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous, man. It's just, I mean, the wait time for that. I don't like watching, I don't like episodic games that come out in 2 months. Certainly fucking not 4 years down the line.
Yeah.
You know, 4 years down the line, I'm like, wait, what the fuck happened in the last one that I'm supposed to care still? I don't mind that Halo does stuff like that, or I'm trying to think of another example, but Halo's like the biggest one. Like Halo 2 is the biggest, like, fuck you. Fuck you for playing.
Halo 5 was Halo 5 all over again.
Kind of like that too, yeah. And it's like, well, how long are we going to have to wait for this to come out? Give us something.
Yeah.
And I like the way that, that's good storytelling in my opinion. That's not like, oh, well, we can rewrite this at any time. That's telling a tale self-contained in this game, and it feels good when you get done. You know what I'm saying? It feels mm-hmm. like I was told a story. I might have seen a story that's resembled this before, because with those contained stories, you know, they've got to add new enemies and new people that are against you. It's kind of the same story. You're going on a treasure hunt. But, you know, it is a self-contained sort of thing. But no, as far as I wouldn't even dare to spoil anything in this game for people. It's just not to be spoiled, man. It's a very, Uncharted's one of the biggest, most popular franchises out there. This is for people to experience, for fans especially, to experience on their own. I personally enjoyed the way they left it. I personally enjoyed the ride as well. There were some things that I wasn't completely sold on and haven't been completely sold on with the Uncharted series for a long time. Gunplay, especially, not my favorite thing about these games. Multiplayer, not my favorite thing about these games, you know? And mm-hmm. those are part of the game. So, without that stuff, I might score this game perfectly. If it was a single player only experience, I'd probably say this game is, you know, as close to it gets to being, you know, like the perfect action adventure game. We've had some competition in the last few years with the Tomb Raider games, who've done a great job with the cinematic action adventure experience. I just don't think they get there as far as the visual fidelity first and foremost, or the storytelling and character development that Uncharted has.
It surprised me actually when people were talking about the game how many of the side characters and everything that just in natural conversation people would just bring up and talk about where they are now and stuff like that. I don't know why, but I just imagined Uncharted as just, you know, Nathan Drake. He's the character, and maybe he's got a couple of friends, but it seems like people really are attached to the entire ensemble.
Yeah. That's the greatest thing about those games is that they develop every single person that they introduce to you, basically. You know, whether it's the enemies or whether it's your sidekicks that have been there all the way through, they do a very, very good job of making that a cohesive experience. It's not as he is the icon mascot guy, you know, but it's not all Nathan Drake. It's definitely well-penned story, well-developed. Yep. So, yeah, I like that. I'm guessing, you know, if you own a PlayStation 4 and you're not getting Uncharted 4, what have you been waiting for? this is kind of that game. right?
This is the greatness that everyone's been.
This is the greatness that people have been waiting for. God damn it! I need to add that to my. That is the closer. I haven't finished the review yet. I've got a couple paragraphs to write. I have to write about multiplayer still. That is my closer.
There you go.
This is the greatness that Sony has been promising. I bet a lot of reviews have that in there.
Probably. There'll be an entire accolades trailer. The verdict.
Sony's been promising greatness for 3 years now. It finally arrives with Uncharted 4. That's my Metacritic quote right there. You heard it here first. Or at approximately the same time. And with that, have you been playing anything else? I see you popping on some VR games here and there.
I play a lot of VR games.
You are.
I have a
lawnmower man.
I have a exercise regimen going with Hollow Point.
Jesus fucking Christ!
Which is a bow and arrow game, and man, I'm feeling it.
Feeling it in your shoulders.
And my legs, you have to dodge a lot. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of, and my core, I've been doing more leaning when I do my dodges.
Holy fuck! Whew. You sound like somebody who just got off of like 2 week Kinect bender.
It's pretty bad. This is going back to the Wii elbow issues back when Boom Blocks. If anyone out there played Boom Blocks. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Your arm was hurting. That's everything right now because of Hollow Point and Space Pirate Trainer and a couple of other VR games that are just... Yeah, it's good stuff.
And anything else you haven't been playing? You haven't reviewed anything.
No, I played...
Star Fox, right?
Yeah, no, I played The Walking Dead Michonne Episode 3. I was late getting into it because I had some technical issues, so I did not officially review it, but that's probably a good thing because it was not enjoyable. It was a very poor conclusion to a...
Michonne was only three episodes?
It was only three episodes, yeah.
You just said, fuck it, I'm not reviewing this? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I still can, and I really only finished it a couple of days ago just because of those issues.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, we were late getting that, and it was just, I mean, honestly, it was just, I don't know, people, it was bad. I'm a huge Telltale fan, I'm a huge Walking Dead fan, and I don't know what happened with this one. It was extremely disappointing.
Yeah, that sounds like it. You do like those games.
I do. I really do. I can overlook a lot of, Telltale has had some technical issues and some animation issues and all sorts of issues with their games lately. I can overlook them if the story is good and if everything connects, and that just was not there with the series.
Well, are you going to get Uncharted 4?
I want to. I really, I picked up... No, I picked up like the PS3 versions. I need to get the PS4 versions of the last games. I don't want to jump into it without playing those games.
Yeah, I wouldn't. But you most certainly can, and you will definitely appreciate, just the quality of the game. This is of high quality. So... You could appreciate the story as well, but yeah, knowing who some of these characters are definitely helps.
You think I can skip the first one?
I would. It's not that good.
YouTube video. I've heard the first one is just.
You
not...
could probably hit all the major plot points. Uncharted 2 is where they really started ramping it up.
I'll grab the remasters.
The remasters, the Nathan Drake collection, has all of them.
Yeah.
So
I'll pick that up and work towards 4 as much as I can.
We'll be like 70 in podcast number 5010. And you'll be like, I just got through Uncharted 3 on my PS4 emulator. Well, that was a good one.
Yeah, that could happen. Oh, and I also played the Overwatch beta.
Yeah, I played the Overwatch beta too.
And yeah, that was real. I being able to play it at my house made me appreciate it even more. I enjoyed it at conventions, but sitting at my PC and playing, it's really fun.
Yeah, really fun, really addictive, very, very Blizzard. Like, really fun, replayable, highly addictive, is just like everything about Blizzard.
It's going to be games. Yeah.
It's kind of magical. I don't know if you want to talk about Overwatch a little bit, or do you want to direct people to our video on youtube.com/fanboyattack where we talk about Overwatch
for a good solid 20 or 30 minutes. So yeah. I would watch that. Yeah.
But. Yeah. That shows off some gameplay, and some first impressions. I've actually played quite a bit more after that. And still loving it. Still trying out new characters every single time. I'm like, oh, this is a cool one. Oh, I like this one. I want to try this.
I loved playing as the healer. Oh, I loved it so much.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about that game is you can do a number of different things.
Any kind of support or builder. Yeah, I played the shield character. I don't know. It's just taking me out of the frontline combat, I really enjoyed. Mostly because people are really good at this game.
Yeah. You're playing it on PC as well. I was playing it on Xbox One. I didn't find the competition to be as good, I guess.
We got steamrolled a couple of times.
I'm guessing you have. You've had people playing that game for months now.
Yeah.
On the PC. The Xbox One and PS4, I think. This is the first this has been out, right?
I believe so, yeah. And it's going to be open beta when this podcast hits, so... check that out.
Oh, May 5th is open beta?
May 5th is open.
And that runs till?
The 8th.
Oh, only something three like more days?
It's a quick
one. Shit. The game comes out later this month. And we'll have a full review up on the site later. But that's, if you want video of that, haven't seen it yet, want some more commentary, you can check out our video on youtube.com. And I think with that, is that the end of the podcast?
Think so. That's all the big stuff.
Okay. Well, that was Attack of the Fanboy Podcast 29. I will write this down one of these days. I'm just going to put it on a post-it note so I remember. For all of our content that we talked about on this podcast, you can check out our website, attackofthefanboy.com. All those news items that we spoke about, articles, Kyle's opinions, they can all be found there. You can also check out our gameplay videos on youtube.com/fanboyattack. I think that's the URL.
It is.
I mean,
we've said it 3 weeks in a row. So
I know. So hopefully if that's what you're going to, and somebody's like getting ones of subscribers. But there's tons of stuff over there from PAX East 2016. There is the Overwatch beta that we talked about. There will be some Uncharted footage. There will be some Street Fighter V DLC footage. And some older stuff, some reviews. Sometimes we do guides. Sometimes we do interviews and stuff like that. Unboxings, if that's your thing.
I haven't done one of those in a while. I need some collector's editions.
Yeah.
What's coming out? I need some. Amiibos went away. Everyone has them now.
Yeah, the fervor is over. The man-made demand.
Well, people are still buying them. It's just they're not hard to get anymore.
Right. Yeah, the supply for them is there.
Yeah.
Well, for Kyle, I'm William. Thanks for listening. Again, if you are looking to get in that Dreadnought beta, we get a few more codes to give away. Email us at podcast@attackofthefanboy.com for codes for that. I think I promised a Binding of Isaac something or other to somebody. If that's what you want, the DLC for the PS4, email us at podcast@attackofthefanboy.com. Or if you have questions that don't pertain to Chinese manufacturing concerns, email us at podcast@attackofthefanboy.com. Thanks for listening. Chinese, man.